Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways you probably haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Questlove, and Cate Blanchett. In recent weeks, I talked to actor Dan Levy, director Ava DuVernay, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, the podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Like our recent episode with sisters Regina and Raina King about the why behind their production company, Royal Ties.
We have such a huge love for storytelling without walls, without barriers.
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart, and I'm very forgiving, but like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
It's been another busy news week, and we like to review the major stories of the week here on the Black Information Network. Today, we are joined by Black Information Network news anchors Esther Dillard and Doug Davis to discuss this week's major stories. This is the Black Information Network Daily Podcast, and I'm your host, Ramses Ja. All right, Doug and Esther, welcome back to the show. Esther, tell me something good. Tell me something new.
Well, some of the good stuff that's happened this week is the Biden administration. They have announced that they have a plan to wipe out $1.2 million in debt for 153,000 borrowers. Now, this is primarily for those who've been paying down their student loans for a very long time.
Right.
You've made at least, you have made at least 10 years of payments on a $12,000 loan for your education or less. If it's above that, you can still be considered, but there's a few more stipulations that are a little bit deep in the weeds on the details. But you have to be enrolled in what is called something called SAVE, or the Saving on a Valuable Education Repayment Plan. That's what it's called. And once you've enrolled, you have the opportunity to get considered for your student loan debt forgiveness. This is something that the Biden administration has been really trying to get through. A few weeks ago, when this plan was first proposed, the NAACP sent a letter to Education Secretary Miguel Cardona urging President Biden to keep his promise about canceling debt for millions of student loans that are students who are experiencing hardship, or people who have had student loans experiencing hardship. And many of the leaders really see it as financial help that's a form of reparations for many Black and brown borrowers and those with disabilities.
Mm. All right, Doug, I got to hear that million-dollar voice and get your take on this as well. So
that's really interesting, Esther, but I don't want to dive too deep into that. But I did speak with U.S. Secretary of Education Miguel Cardona. He explained that another set of borrowers who are eligible will be contacted within the coming days. But are not a part of the SAVE plan. So he said, for those of you out there who are not part of the SAVE program, you should really take a look at it. You might be surprised by some of the options out there. He said, if undergraduate loan payments, undergraduate loan payments will be cut in half if you are enrolled in the SAVE plan by this summer. He also said that over the course of a loan, people are going to pay $40,000 less on average for their undergraduate degree under the SAVE plan. African-American grads, of course, we know, incur more student loan debt. Black grads are very likely to work in the public sector as well, he said. So they actually fix a public service loan forgiveness plan. Teachers, professors, educators that he's spoken to have had over $130,000 in their student loan debt forgiven already. So he said originally when he got in office, 7,000 people took advantage of this benefit. Today, nearly 900,000 people have benefited from the public service loan forgiveness plan. So he said, hey, man, go to student aid.gov And there you'll find the details on the SAVE program and the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Plan. He said more debt relief plans are on the way and they are expecting some kickback. But they believe that the plan and the playing field, has to be leveled out, particularly for Black Americans. So when Black people win, we know America wins. Not to get too political, but I do want to pose a question to the Black Trumpers out there. Would Trump forgive your student loan debt?
You say you don't want to get political, and then listen, you came to the right place for that, because I'm here for it.
This is where we live.
Well, for a lot of today's stories, I have we've touched on them in prior episodes, and so I don't want to end up repeating myself here. So if you want my thoughts on this, go back and look at the last few days, and you'll get some deeper dives. Today I really want to highlight you guys' perspectives on these stories, so we will definitely do that. I'd love to move to this next one, because this one was really interesting. So, Freudian slip or honest mistake? The jury's still out on former President Donald Trump's word snafu during a recent campaign stop. Doug, this time we're going to start with you, so tell us more about this story, and of course, Esther, I'd love your thoughts.
I was blown. Was it a slip of the tongue? Well, during a campaign stop in Waterford, Michigan, the former president was discussing his ongoing legal issues to a crowd of supporters. And while attempting to say the word indictment, he said out loud the N-word, the term N-word, I should say, literally. This happened after, of course, he was forced to pay $355 million in a civil fraud case. And, how can we forget how Fani Willis, the DA of Fulton County, dismantled his lawyer on national TV. So, yes, he used this inappropriate term, but he did correct himself by then saying indictment. His exact words were, "My whole life, I did not know what that term meant. I did not know what N-word or indictment meant." I don't see how he could make that, or that could even be, construed as a, Freudian slip. But anyway, that's pretty much what it was. What can you say? I personally think that he used the word as a way to relate to his Republican supporters. And again, I have to put it out to the Black Republicans. That's your guy. That's your guy who said that.
All right. Talking spicy. I like it. Okay, Esther, let's go. What you got?
I listened to the audio. And as Doug said, it was like a millisecond of saying N-word, because I wanted to listen to it. I thought he might have actually said the word, but he has said N-word and then changed it up and tried to fix it. To say the N-word, even if he had said the actual word, I'm just wondering what was in his mind. To me, it seems as if it's not a Freudian slip. To me, it just seemed very kind of like perhaps it's something that he says in a regular way and he does not really, and then it just slipped into his conversation. I don't know. That's just my take on it. I think there's obviously no love between him and New York Attorney General Letitia James, who pretty much told ABC News that she's prepared to seize the former president's assets if he's unable to pay that cash fine. He's been ordered to pay $354 million in fines. That's a lot of cash regarding this fraud case. And obviously, this is not it. The way her interview went on ABC, she made it clear that it wasn't a personal vendetta. But what Trump did to inflate the value of his property so banks would give him a low interest loan was financial fraud. And Trump has said that the banks were paid, no harm, no foul, there's no fraud. But James said financial fraud really is not a victimless crime. And I just think that basically that comment really is directed at her, because she was the person that kind of pushed this into where it is right now. So, it just... That's my thought.
Okay. Well, as in terms of his Freudian slip is what they're calling it. Personally, I really do think that he just made an honest mistake. If indictment started with a P, he would have called it the P word. Like, I don't think he was making that connection. It's just me. But I think that it shows people something that we've needed to see for a long time. And a lot of his supporters will not see it, but people in general, we need to see this. Rich people are not necessarily smart people. Donald Trump was born a millionaire. Okay. I know a lot of smart people who are very, very poor. Okay. So intelligence is not necessarily a predictor of financial success, right? Even educated people, there's a lot of people with master's degrees and PhDs and so forth. And it doesn't necessarily mean they're smart. It means they know how to get through school, right? And we have to be able to distinguish between someone who's actually intelligent and someone who's simply accomplished a thing, right? Because again, there's ways to get through the system. You know, there's legacy admissions at Harvard, and you know, people aren't necessarily born smart. Some people just don't have the intellectual bandwidth, right? So there's one. The other that I want to say is that there's only two conclusions that we can arrive at with respect to this incident. One is that Donald Trump said this intentionally, okay? He meant to say it because he wanted the headlines or whatever. In which case, he's teasing us black folks, right? The other is that he thinks indictment starts with the letter N. In which case, we have to conclude that Donald Trump is not nearly as intelligent as his supporters have made him out to be. And of course, this point is well made on a previous episode of the Black Information Network Daily Podcast. You're welcome to check it out and hear more of my thoughts, but we'll leave that one right there.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings. That frustrating thing your mom does. Or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/BIN today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BIN.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Black Information Network.
I think it's caused us really to focus on the equity and inclusion piece and not just the diversity piece.
Celebrating Black history.
Then.
The die is cast. As I said, we're not asking. We're saying this is the way it's going to be.
And now.
Making sure that, yeah, that was a first, but it won't be the only time that that's happened. We want to make sure that we can continue to do new things.
Because our story continues.
Black Information Network news anchors Esther Dillard and Doug Davis are here with us discussing this week's major stories. All right, concerns in the classroom popped up to our news cycle this week when a former chapter president of the NAACP lost her teaching job due to her social media content. We're going to get into it because there's a lot more to this story. But Esther, why don't you help us out? Give us more on this one. And then Doug, of course, we're going to get your thoughts afterward.
Oh boy, Rachel Dolezal. Yeah. The name comes back.
Yes, it does.
Those of you who may not know who she is, she's a former African American studies professor from Washington State who is white, who was outed years ago for pretending to be a light skinned black woman. She was outed while she was working as the head of the Spokane chapter of the NAACP. And for years, she's been out of the spotlight, pretty much kind of under the radar. That was until now. She was hired by the Catalina Foothills Unified School District in Tucson, Arizona, in August 2023. She was fired recently for photos that surfaced on a fans only page. She started
OnlyFans,
OnlyFans site that she started that connected to her book, her podcast, her Netflix documentary. And these photos were said to be, quote, suggestive while posing by a Christmas tree. So once I read that, I was like, oh, are people just hating on this lady? So I dug a little deeper. And according to The Independent, the pictures on the OnlyFans site included 18 image explicit collection and a video of self-pleasure to orgasm under the Christmas tree, as well as 35 pics of Daboute, and I'm spelling it Daboo-tay, two photo and videos of the Tatas, according to screenshots from OutKick. So, Dolezal got into a little heat. My question to her, you know, would have been like, if you are working for a job with kids, what were you thinking? I mean, to have a OnlyFans site is not bad. You can do whatever you want. You're an adult. But if you're working for a job for kids, didn't it cross your mind that the school might have a policy on this? But that's really it in a nutshell. So if you ever get a chance to, you know, if you it kind of floats your boat to read her book or watch her documentary, it will totally give you a lot of insight into her life growing up and why she is the way she is and what are some of the struggles that she has now. You know, because once she got booted from NAACP, she had to figure out how to make money. So she's no longer a professor. She's considered someone who perhaps is disingenuous, and perhaps they may not see her as a credible person to hire. So where do you go to get money? Because people have to make money in order to live. Yeah. So I get it.
Yeah, I'm with you. Doug, let's get your thoughts.
Esther's sentiments, much like mine. It's just strange to me to know that a student today can pull up an adult-oriented website and see their teacher, you know, posing. And like Esther said, I'm just curious, you know, how she thought she could get away with this. She was hired as a teacher, you're moonlighting as a model on OnlyFans. I mean, it just doesn't really make sense. You know, she's under her real name. I think it's Nkechi Diallo. She changed that name back in 2021. Maybe she thought she wasn't going to get caught. I mean, this made major news. I'm just really shocked at how they, how the school district missed that. But now she says Her site is all about promoting clean content while maybe posting random tasteful pics. But of course, Esther just shattered that theory. So it's interesting. I mean, like you said, she's got to make some money. And if I can just, you know, use the words of a great poet, Sean Jay-Z Carter, can't knock the hustle.
Boom.
But you can't mix the two. I mean, there's some real ethical questions here. Sure. So, hey, man, it's what it is.
I'd go with that. Now, this one, I did have a couple of thoughts. This one's not going to be so popular, but I'll stand on it. And of course, you can always share your thoughts. I don't know that she should be punished forever for pretending to be black, quote unquote. Whatever it was, whatever her motivation was, whether it was to pretend to be black or whether to just walk in what she felt like was her version of her truth, you know, who knows? I feel like if we lived in a world where, you know, all the white people behave just like her, a lot of the problems that we deal with would go away. And indeed, this is, she went kind of far with it, to be fair, but this is what we want from allies. We because a lot of times we'll say to people, hey, you don't know what it's like to walk in our shoes. You don't know what it's like to be us. You don't do the work. You know, you come when it's on a holiday and you read a book when it's, you know, Martin Luther King Day and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you really have to like do the work, do the soul searching, you know. And I again, she went super far with it, but I don't see what she did as harming us beyond occupying a position that could have gone to a black woman. Beyond that, she just was really super down, in my opinion, and based on what I know. Of course, you can give me new information, and I'm the sort of person that changes my mind with new journalistic, credible, you know, fact-backed information, you know. But I want to start there. And then in terms of her OnlyFans, you know, after hearing Esther's description of her own OnlyFans, and I know that that is echoed widely in the media space, you know, I think you're right, Doug. Maybe this was a part of, you know, an ultimate hustle, because with a description like that, I'm sure that there's lots of OnlyFans people that are downloading the content she's A, already made. So it's not like she has to work anymore. And B, that's going to take care of her fiscally until she lands at her next gig. And as a hustler, you know, I'm sure she's got another couple of things up her sleeve. It's unfortunate that she has gone in that route, but I don't imagine that fiscally, especially after this, that it's going to be, you know, challenging for her. You know, there's people who just with morbid curiosity will just check it out. Yeah. And, you know, in terms of the risk to children, I see that entirely. I understand that that is something that we don't like children and adult level sexuality to exist in the same space. Right. And so that just makes people uncomfortable. But critically, it's important for us to remember that it makes adults uncomfortable. For the most part, children are not exposed to adult materials. And I will entirely admit that once it leaks, it can spread through an entire school. So I'm a lot more conservative in my thinking in that regard, because, you know, I have children who are school aged. But I don't think that it is the sort of thing where it's like willfully trying to deceive. You know, there's levels. You could say, hey, look, you know, if you want to do this, do this. If you want to do that, do that. But just to fire her, either she knew this was coming, as you mentioned, and she was waiting. Because, you know, you mentioned that she was going by her other name, but her social media still said Rachel Dolezal. So this was,
yeah, I mean,
you know, this was prime for the flames.
She's going to get paid off of it.
Yeah, this. Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah. You know, this is just kind of a weird one, but I really did want to be mad at her. But every time I see what she was doing, what she stood for, what she said afterwards, she's like, She has a lot of information. She's read a lot of books. She really walked that path. And I know a lot of people who would rather pretend to not be black, you know. And so I just can't get mad. It's like, well, this is kind of what we asked for. And she was working with the NAACP. Like, that's, I know a black woman that came on my show the other day, or sorry, a white woman that came on my show, an incredible speaker, a lawyer. She's in her 70s and she's worked with the NAACP for years and helped us fight fights. And so she, granted, the woman that came on my show did not pretend to be black. So there was not insulting, you know, but in terms of the work done, you know, I personally can't figure out a way to be mad at her. So God bless her. I hope she lands on her feet, and I hope none of the children are harmed as a result of this. But I don't imagine that we have to worry about either of those. So for our final story, we stay in the classroom with another story coming from Black History Month celebration. Right. There were some decorations at a Charlotte high school, and they ended up being controversial. So, Doug, why don't you give us more on this story? And then Esther, of course, we'll close out with you.
Sure. North Carolina Charlotte Mecklenburg School District is retraining teachers after a Black history display went wrong. It happened at a predominantly Black West Charlotte high school where a teacher posted displays it was something that all teachers did. They posted displays of Black history on classroom doors. And well, one teacher set up a display on two doors, one covered in black that said colored entrance, and the other door covered in white that said white entrance. And in between the doors was a sign that said Sears Department Store 1930 display, which obviously highlights, you know, the history of segregation, was taken down a few hours after it was completed. But photos of the display made its way through social media, caught fire. Next thing you know, controversy. A number of African-Americans who say the post was an accurate depiction of our history. And they're really making their voices known. The school district didn't quite feel that same way. They issued a statement calling the display inappropriate. Now, the daughter of the teacher, LaQuinta Caldwell, told WCNC Charlotte News that the display was taken out of context. And, you know, I guess the way I feel it is that some folks just don't like to hear or see the truth in all of its glorious colors, in black and white. And so, you know, she challenged the status quo. And now the school district says that they want to retrain teachers. What? So they can't tell the truth?
Mm. All right. Esther, let's hear from you.
I really felt like the two door thing with it, it really was an artistic depiction of what people dealt with back during segregation. And I understand what the teacher was trying to do was to give you an idea or evoke some kind of emotion from you, of course, and perhaps increase conversation about what happened back then and why it was like that and those type of things. And it's funny that those kind of conversations are really good conversations to have with your children, because like my son asked me, well, why did they do that? What was the reason behind that? Things like that are important for the conversations to have with kids. And I think that faulting the teacher for using that as a reason to retrain everybody is really not needed, because it should be something that we're, well, yes, perhaps this is offensive to some people. They did take down the display from what I read, and but it shouldn't be where it shuts everybody down. Mm-hmm. And kids learn in different ways. Just kids do not have to learn just sitting and reading and discussing. Sometimes kids learn better when it comes to doing artistic expression. They integrate it better. When it comes to music, they integrate it better. When it comes to movement and dance, they integrate it better. So just because one teacher decided to use art as a means of teaching a piece of history, I don't think that they should make every teacher have to go through some training or whatever. Yeah. Perhaps talk to that teacher and say, you know, perhaps there could have been a better way in which to do it. But I don't think it needs a whole, I think they're taking it a little too far personally.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, where we are and where we've been for some time is and this is a part of our culture, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but we tiptoe around each other's sensibilities quite a bit. And who's to say what's right and who's to say what's wrong? There's always going to be a group of people that agree with what you say and that disagree. And there's going to be a group that would do it differently, and, you know, on and on. Right. And it's really tough to hold everybody to a standard that doesn't really exist universally across the board. So, you know, if for the most part, and you know, I talked about this in great detail in a previous episode, and I implore all of our listeners to go and check it out, because I had quite a few thoughts, some that echo, you know, what you both have mentioned here today, and some that go even deeper. And I'd love for everyone to check it out. And of course, you know, give me your feedback, because I'm learning and I'd love for us all to learn together. So, it's interesting because, you know, I know that we want to teach, I'm calling it American history, but we'll call it critical race theory because that's the popular buzzword in the media space now. We want to teach that. We want our students to know what has happened in this country and what has brought us to where we are. It is imperative that our students know that. And there is a bona fide attack on the education system and a mislabeling it as being unfairly liberal, when indeed the truth tends to have a liberal bias to it. And the trajectory of humanity historically has been more progressive. And, you know, that's just kind of that's our nature, you know, and we move slowly. And there's a place for conservatives there, because we probably shouldn't move too quickly. Maybe we might not anticipate what's around the next corner. But insofar as teaching our children is concerned, I think that there's a good amount of people that want our children to know exactly what happened. And this is how it might look for some teachers. This is how it might work for some children, as you mentioned, Esther. And so, again, I implore our listeners to go and check out the episode that I did where I kind of broke this down a lot further. Again, I'd love your feedback. But as far as you two are concerned, it's been a joy. It always is. I'd like to thank you as always for your time and your brilliance. Once again, today's guests are Black Information Network news anchors Esther Dillard and Doug Davis. This has been a production of the Black Information Network. Today's show is produced by Chris Thompson. Have some thoughts you'd like to share? Use the red microphone talkback feature on the iHeartRadio app. While you're there, be sure to hit subscribe and download all of our episodes. I am your host, Ramses Ja, on all social media. And join us tomorrow as we share our news with our voice from our perspective, right here on the Black Information Network Daily Podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating.
I got a big heart, and I'm very forgiving, but, like, don't abuse it. It's been abused enough.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Hey fam, I'm Simone Boyce.
I'm Danielle Robay.
And we're the hosts of The Bright Side, the podcast from Hello Sunshine that's guaranteed to light up your day.
Like our recent episode with sisters Regina and Raina King about the why behind their production company, Royal Ties.
We have such a huge love for storytelling without walls, without barriers.
Listen to The Bright Side from Hello Sunshine on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.